1-800-449-8686. Now, Bill Hendry.
Coach Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy is joining us. I got to tell you, on this Monday, I want to get into your concern, but more importantly, though, is this: the practice that you had. You dropped, according to the parents involved.
Right.
You dropped hot ash from a cigar.
Well, here is the background, Phil, before.
Into the kid's hands.
He was one of our wide receivers. Here's the background, though, and I hope that people will give me the benefit of hearing this. We are very proud of our high school football programs here in California. Now, every January, we do have an all-star game between the high schools of California and the high schools of Florida. It is a very big game for us. The kids in Florida over the past summer, and every summer for that matter, certainly have experienced, and we have seen, the rest of the country has seen, these hurricanes. They are devastating. They are nothing that I would want my family to go through, but the upside, and as a motivator and as a coach, you try to get your kids to see the upside. The upside to these hurricanes is that they do tend to put into the life experience of a young football player adversity, and it allows the young man to see what things can be like and how to overcome those things. What made this past summer different is they had four hurricanes. And if you want to look at it the way I'm looking at it, it toughens those kids up quite a bit. Now, I'm going to be facing these kids, these all-stars, in January, these Florida kids. And I've got kids from California who obviously don't have the advantage of and I'm not saying that a hurricane's an advantage.
I was going to say, it's, as you said, devastating.
But it does toughen a kid up to a degree. Now, here in California, our weather's great. I've got to find a way. Otherwise, we are looking at the football programs, I think, in Florida, just out distancing us.
Well, you talked to the school board, the superintendent of California schools, about being able to use some motivational techniques with your players. One of them was the receivers. You had a cigar lit.
Well, that's just one of them. I want to talk about the bigger picture, though, Phil, of how am I going to get my kids motivated when they've got these Florida kids who have endured hurricanes, high winds, the destruction of private property.
But the specifics, because there was a parental complaint about...
Well, the one mother called, yeah.
All right, but about her son plays wide receiver in your varsity team.
Yeah, a young man is by the name of Jeremy Bonham, who is one of our better wide receivers. He dropped a lot of balls in practice, so I had a cigar and I dropped hot ash into his hands. And the reason why I did that, Phil, is I said to him, now this is to remind you what those hands are for. Because a lot of times receivers forget that their hands are even on the ends of their arms. Now you're going to remember you've got hands on your arms because they hurt now.
Now, running back, one of the running backs was put on a bench, had his legs pulled apart.
No, that was stretching, but we reinforced the conditioning.
How so?
Well, we pull the legs back and we tell the running backs, motivational things.
Like what?
Well,
in the instance of this one young man, William Hunter, he was told, you want to be someone's little queer, go play for somebody else.
Well, that's not what I said.
Well, that's what some of the other players reported you said as you were pulling this kid's leg. I'm just asking you, is it necessary?
Look, I've got a Florida, the high school programs in Florida have hurricanes. That every year these kids are living in houses that have got, they are facing death. This year, four times the high school football players of Florida face death. The California high school football player, for whatever reason, is a little soft, and I'm trying to get these kids up to a level where when we finally do meet these kids in Florida, they're going to be motivated. I do not have the advantage of hurricanes that blow through this state. We got an earthquake every few years, and that's about it. The kids in Florida get to, and I reject the fact that it's abuse. It is not abuse, because if you call what I do abuse, then you have to also blame the parents and the teachers in Florida for abuse.
And how can you blame them for abuse?
Because they have moved their families to a state where there are hurricanes, and every summer they ask their children to face death.
And wait a minute. A lot of people are natives of that state. I don't see the parallel. What I'm saying...
Well, I see the parallel very well. If you call what I do abuse, then you have to call that abuse.
No, wait a minute. A lot of people are born and raised in Florida. They move their families there.
Well, they move their families there, and they're born and raised there. What they're basically saying is, hey, here comes the summer. Here comes another hurricane. You have to face death and perhaps a horrible death. So why am I told that I'm abusive because I bought a cigar in some kid's hand while in Florida they have their kids who could be murdered horribly by a hurricane? See, this is what I'm facing, and I got parents leaning on me, but they don't do that down there. That's why I think they've got a better football program than us.
All right, well, let me give our phone number out, Coach Dozier, and thank you again for joining us this Monday.
It's always my pleasure, Phil, but if you could just see my way on this.
Well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Coach Vernon Dozier joining us here, as he does every Monday. We're talking football. We're actually talking more than football. We're talking football programs, how to motivate kids. Do you honestly believe that the hurricanes in Florida make the football players tougher?
Well, I don't see how they can. I got a call from Bill Sargent, who used to be a high school coach in Florida. He's now does a fair amount of recruiting for colleges in Florida. And he called up, and he had one of those, I could tell he had one of those crap-eating grins on his face, He says, hey, they got another one coming now, too. They got this gene coming. I said, well, that makes four. He says, yeah. He says, these kids are going to be ready. And I said to him, now, let me ask you a question. How can there be a God in heaven who supposedly loves mankind, and he puts me through this? And you got coaches down there, probably not even half the coach I am, but they've got they got hurricanes that they get to have.
But not everybody would say they're hurricanes that they get to have. The hurricanes that they have in Florida...
No, I understand that.
But the hurricanes they have in Florida are hurricanes that can kill people, and have killed people, and could kill those kids you're talking about.
But the kids that survive are motivated to play tough. Now, what do we have in California and all the other states? You run the risk of having some little candy pants coming out there, and he's got a note from his mama because he's got asthma and all that. You think there's a kid down there who faces horrifying death from a hurricane? I've seen people that have died in hurricanes. I mean, you can get your head severed from a flying piece of metal. You can have glass come and cut you in half. Now, what are my kids? What are the kids in all of the other states? What do they face? So I have to motivate the best way I can.
You consider that motivation, though?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
The fact that these kids face death from hurricanes every summer.
Absolutely, yeah. Without question, you got to coach football to know what. And so I take a cigar. I put it out on a kid's hand.
Well, that's going to cause a little bit of damage, isn't it?
It's not going to cause any damage that isn't going to heal. And I got a parent saying to me that I'm abusive. You can't. Then I say that the people down in Florida are abusive to their kids.
Because they moved down there where they knew there were hurricanes.
Right. If you indict me for being abusive, then I say the coaches and players, the parents, and the school administration of Florida are abusive for having kids down in Florida when you got a hurricane coming through with 200-mile-an-hour winds that could sever a man in half. And yet I've got...
All right, well, you've had a number of complaints from parents and from players for some of these methods that you have employed, Coach Dozier, putting a cigar out in a kid's hand, dropping hot ash into the kid's hand. You also forced one player to smoke a cigarette and run these deep routes during practice.
Well, this is a kid who thinks he's... Hold on. This is a kid who thinks he's Jerry Rice. I said, you smoke that cigarette...
Does the kid smoke?
I'm sure he does. All these kids do.
But do you know for a fact that the kid smokes?
Let me tell you something. These kids smoke cigarettes, because they got that Joe Camel. And he makes all the kids smoke because of that. So I said, you think you're Jerry Rice? Huh? Do you think you're Terrell Owens? Do you think you're Randy Moss? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to smoke that cigarette, not go run me a post pattern. And let me tell you something. Because I got a Florida team that's going to meet me in January with their all-stars. They got kids down there that have been through hurricanes. The horror of seeing a loved one die. The horror of seeing bodies on the sides of roads. And I got these candy pants out here. I have to do something. And try and explain that to mothers and fathers and school administrators who are themselves the product of kind of a candy pants upbringing. And that is what I'm facing.
Well, you've got a few people that are angry at you. I know you've been at the school for a long time, Coach. Hold on. We'll talk to you in a moment. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Talking about motivating young athletes for football, the high school students of Florida face serious injury, according to Coach Dozier, with hurricanes every summer. The kids in California don't have the same kind of challenge, so he has to challenge them somehow. The problem is the methods that he's used, making a kid smoke a cigarette, dropping hot cigar ash into a receiver's hands, have been called abusive by some parents and players. He's a little bit, if you'll pardon the pun, on the hot seat himself. But you heard his response. If I'm abusive, then the parents and teachers in Florida who make their kids live in a state where there's hurricanes are abusive as well. 1-800-449-8686. Is high school football just getting out of control here with the need to win running as deep as exposing a kid to a possible abuse? 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later tonight, Earl Pants joins us with Earl Pants Car Talk. We have a feature called Training Pets with Darren Flew. And tomorrow night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report returns on The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coach Vernon Dozier is with us as we're talking not so much football as we are talking about motivating players following the football weekend. You are a high school football coach. You say the hurricanes, the inclement weather, when I'm talking about the hurricanes, I don't want to think I'm talking about the Miami hurricanes.
No, we're talking about the real deal.
All right. That motivates players.
Well, it does, because it puts them through a period of terrific stress where they don't know whether they're going to live to see another day. And then they hit a football field and they realize that it's all very nothing compared to going through a hurricane. And the Florida football programs and high school programs have been getting better and better every year because of these hurricanes, because of just the adversity of living in that state. Now, you compare that to California, where we got this candy pants kind of attitude.
You say candy pants how?
Well, there's a lot of kids out here that just, they've never really been through anything. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to give them some kind of motivation that comes a little close to the horror of seeing your best friend take a piece of glass through his face. Now, that's what kids in Florida get to see. My kids out here don't get to see that, and so they hit the football field thinking that, oh, my God, this is, you know, I'm going to play these guys, they're bigger than me and everything. Think a kid down in Florida cares because he just saw a friend of his take a piece of glass that severed his head in half? I don't think so.
All right, 1-800, but you have been told by the school district they consider your policies abusive.
And I told them back, I told this Mr. Schaefer, who's the head of the school board, I said, then you listen to me, and you listen real good, because he hasn't been on the school board as long as I've been teaching. I said, then you listen to me. Those parents and teachers down in Florida have their kids living in a state where a hurricane comes, can blow a piece of sheet metal through the air, and the next thing you know, the guy you were talking to doesn't have a head anymore. And he's trying to tell me I'm abusive.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Virginia. Virginia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'm from Florida. Lived there all my life.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a two-week or a week window where you can get out of town. I am sitting on St. Andreas Fault, mister, and as I sit here, the ceiling can cave in on me, and I'm dead.
Wait a minute.
You're comparing a hurricane to a tornado?
You were in Florida?
I came from Florida.
Now, you said a minute ago you were in Florida.
I lived there all my life.
There's no San Andreas Fault.
I have been through every hurricane imaginable. You don't know what you're talking about.
I want to point out, she thinks she is a San Andreas Fault runs through Florida, and it doesn't.
San Andreas Fault runs underneath me. I live in Palm Springs, buddy. I just moved to California.
She moved to California.
From where?
Florida. Melbourne, Florida, that was hit. I've lived in Florida all my life.
You mentioned something about tornadoes.
We
don't have tornadoes in California.
Oh, no, but they've got them in Oklahoma, so let's not play the football teams in Oklahoma. And then we have St. Helens that's erupting in Washington State. Let's not let our team go to Washington State.
We've had one volcano erupt in like a million years, and you're going, oh, God, I'm talking about hurricanes.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're not from there. I am, buddy.
Lady, I come from the South, and I can tell you.
You come from the South? I come from Florida.
Yeah, well, that's the South.
Now, where are you in the South?
I come from Charlotte, North Carolina. Originally.
Hello.
All right, so I know all about hurricanes.
Oh, sure, you know it. Yeah. How long have you been here?
I wasn't sitting on the beach
how
with the police
coming. How long
have
you been here?
The police come and get you
how
and put
long
you away
you
in the senior center so you can sit there and eat pablum, okay? I've got to go out with all the grown-ups.
You need to retire because
no,
if you ever put a cigarette butt in what my kid's hand, I do the same thing to you.
Do what?
Do what?
All
what
I
right
did,
do you have to abuse a child
what
like that?
What right did you have to raise your family in Florida where a kid could get severed?
You don't know what you're... You know something.
Wait,
you
I
need a
jump
psychiatrist,
in. Virginia,
buddy.
Virginia, this is Phil Henry. I want to jump in. Did you raise a family in Florida?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I've got one son and two daughters.
Okay.
See, right there, abuse. And I'm talking about the kind where a boy could go out... She's laughing at the fact that a kid could die in a hurricane. She thinks that's
a
funny.
A kid could
I don't,
die in an earthquake, too, mister.
We get earthquakes like every 3 years, okay?
Oh, yeah?
You guys are getting... You guys had four hurricanes...
Oh,
and I'm
first,
saying,
as
I'm
long
saying
as I've lived and I was born there.
It is good to put a kid through a hurricane because it toughens him up.
You don't know what
we
you're talking about.
We got a lot of candy asses out here.
You know, you need to retire.
Right, let me jump in, Virginia. You're fighting fire. I agree with Virginia that
Well, see, she's like, every time she thinks about a hurricane killing a kid, she thinks that's funny. What I'm trying
no,
to say
funny.
Is motivating young people to do their very best. It's something that I know about.
You have
maybe,
to use brute force to
Virginia,
do that?
What are your kids doing now, Virginia?
My one daughter is a psychologist,
no, you're
psychiatrist.
That up. You're
the other one's an interior
up.
Designer, and my son owns a flooring company.
All, right, now you're
not all college graduates.
All right, you're not talking to the old biddies around the pool now. You're talking to Vernon. What do
that's
your kids,
right,
what
I
do
am.
Your kids really do?
What?
What do your kids really do?
I just told you.
I said I'm not one of the old biddies around the pool. You know, you lied.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You have a bolt loose.
Old people lie about what their kids do to
you're
other
sick.
Old people.
You know, you're sick.
I'm sick?
You need to call my daughter. She's a shrink. She could really do a number on you.
She's a shrink, or
yeah,
is she just
in
one
Los
of those nurses
Angeles.
That holds the keys?
She's in Los Angeles.
What's her name?
Alex.
No. Don't. I don't want any names given.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to protect.
Oh, see, you don't want her name because you want to protect her, but me, I got to sit here and eat sawdust.
Well, who told you to call on the phone?
I'm the guest on the show.
Well, get off.
You're not the guest.
Get off.
Hey, let me ask you something, Virginia. How many bedpans does your daughter really change every day? Because if she's a psychiatrist...
What are you
if she's a
about?
Psychiatrist, my name is Vince Lombardi.
You're sick.
And I will tell you something else.
You're sick.
That hurricanes
you need help.
Will put people through a very
you need help.
Positive...
You're pitiful.
Like, you live through hurricanes. You think you're okay, don't you?
I survived,
gotcha,
haven't I?
Gotcha. Boy, I love it when I catch one of these
oh,
little birds.
Oh, you should do.
I really do.
Haven't I survived?
If you call that living.
Okay, where are we going?
I'm waiting for her. It's her move.
No, you know, I don't have
you know,
anything
so I
more
don't
to
have
say
anything,
to this
yeah.
guy.
Well, I don't have anything to say to her because
no,
she doesn't know anything about
he's
football.
He's got a problem.
I'm,
he
a,
really
I'm
does.
An educator, okay? I'm not sitting around the pool.
He needs to retire or they need to retire him because he is physically
all
abusing
right.
children.
And living in the state of Florida, Mr.
I don't
Henry,
care where you're
is
living, buddy.
Abusing
they need
children.
They need
this
to retire
lady,
you.
Well,
and
but it is abusive. It is abusive, Vernon.
But this old lady who raised kids in Florida in the middle of hurricanes, you don't call her an abuser.
No, well, I mean, the fact is they lived in a state with inclement weather.
They knew full well they had hurricanes, and she brings kids down there to live.
All right, okay, Virginia, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We only got a minute and a half left in the... all right, let me tell you what I'll do is take a break here.
I want to address with that old... you know...
Well, look, I understand that you're upset.
They're calling me abusive because I put a cigar out in a kid's hand. Meanwhile...
I heard what you said, and I understand. I think you even have a little bit of a point. Living in a state where there is that kind of inclement weather does put young people through a lot of stress, and it may be a motivator or a positive influence in helping them value and cherish life. You know,
so that's what I'm trying to do, Phil. I'm trying to get kids to cherish life and value life. And
by butting a cigar in their hand.
Well, okay. Would you like me to do what the parents of Florida do? Would you like me to bring in a wind machine and throw up pieces of sheet metal and have the kids stand there and have it just come and cut a jugular? Would you like that? I don't think so. That's not Vernon Dozier. That's not what I do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I think it's stretching it to say because you live in Florida, you're abusing your kids with hurricanes. Vernon Dozier wants his kids motivated like the kids in Florida. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show. Will be right back.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Talk Radio Speed Trap. 1-800-449-8686. The Bill Henry Show is back.
We're back with Coach Vernon Dozier on this Monday. We're talking about high school football and the motivation of young players. And it has been Coach Dozier's contention that the state of Florida, which has a terrific high school football program, also has inclement weather like hurricanes that may motivate young people. After being put in so much danger, it may make actually a better football player. And that's why you have used what some people describe, Coach, as abusive tactics in the...
No, I'm not using anything abusive, Mr. Henry. I think you have been led down a road by your listeners, and you're just buying into it. I'm not doing anything abusive. I am motivating these players. How come it is, and I'm going to say this again, how come it is that I wasn't allowed by your audience or you the benefit of not being a bad guy or anything, while the hurricanes in Florida can kill a kid, and nobody's saying anything about that? See, the reason I think that happens is everybody wants to kiss up on Florida because they have these hurricanes and everything's so bad. Then they get to have good football players because of it. And I take a cigarette, and I put it on the guy's forearm, and I'm all of a sudden a bad guy. And that ain't going to kill him last time I checked. Last time I checked, putting a cigarette out on a guy's forearm is not going to kill him. But putting a kid in the state of Florida, where when a hurricane happens, that kid could get picked up and blown across five different time zones. That, I guess that's okay, huh?
All right. Yeah, you've made your point.
Yeah, I'm making my point, but nobody wants to hear me. They don't give it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We go over to Ed. Hi, Ed. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Vernon Dozier, you're an abusive fella. You're abusing
your
kids. And let me tell you something. I was born and raised in Florida, and what I know about hurricanes is that they never play or practice in a hurricane gale. And you know better than that.
No.
You're an adult.
Yes, they do.
So the first thing they do is they send them north. They get them the heck out of the way of that high wind. You're abusive.
None of these candy. Some of the candy ass.
And thank you very much.
Some of the candy ass programs, sir. Some of the candy ass programs do leave the state, but the some of the programs stay. But the point that I see, he didn't hear what I was saying.
Well, what do you mean some of the candy ass programs leave?
Some of these candy cane coaches will leave the state, yeah. But the tough, the good football programs, Coach Bill Rousley out in Chipley, Coach Alan Frazier has got a wonderful program in Fort Lauderdale, Coach Dennis McMurtry, who has a great program on the Gulf Coast in the Tampa St. Pete area. We all know the great coach John Piccolo, who has coached champion after champion in Kissimmee. These guys aren't candy asses. And I'll tell you right now, I heard Coach McMurtry tell me, he says, I don't give a sweet Jesus if it's a gale, if it's a hurricane, if it's gale force winds, those boys are going to get out and practice in it. In California, you don't have that because we got these touchy-feely parents, and everybody's ready to sue. And everybody wants to say, you know, when I say I won four Division III championships, but what do I get from these parents? Oh, my boys, you know, it makes me want to, I don't want to butt a cigarette on a kid's arm. I want to butt a cigarette right in their eyes.
In their eyes?
I'm sorry, but
in their eye, in the parents' eyes?
I'm very angry, Mr. Henry. And
well, I think you got to watch your temper a little bit there. 1-800-449-8686. Chris, go ahead.
To the coach, I happen to be a security officer. You may not think that's much because it's security, but I'm a security officer in the state of California. And from what I've heard and what I do know, the Darings Penal Code, which is something we also have to memorize and learn, is the fact is what you have testified.
Security officer where, sir?
Up north.
Yeah, but what do you do? Like you're at a Penny's or something? I mean, what are we talking about?
Actually, I'm a dispatcher, but before I did that, I walked the beat. And then I did training.
All right, when you say you walk the beat, you're walking around in a mall someplace? Is that what it is?
Let's not worry about his credentials. He knows the penal code. Correct, Chris?
That's correct, sir.
Go ahead.
And
oh, great. See, I get cut off again.
Just let him say what he has to say. That's all I want to do. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, the biggest thing, sir, is your testimony you gave it over the radio, which is what you do when an officer comes to check on a complaint. They ask what your story is. And you know what? Based on your story, I can tell you right now, just right off the top, child endangerment 273A on the penal code.
All right. Can I ask you something, Chris? If you were a police officer, suppose you were a police officer responding.
That's right.
Suppose you're a police officer responding to a complaint filed by a parent, and you come to me, and I'm standing there on the football field. I'm standing there, I'd let the kids go into practice, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the first thing you ask me?
I would ask you your side of the story.
You ask him his ask him what happened? Is that it, Chris?
That's correct.
Right, I would
listen to what the parent had to say, then I'd go to this guy.
Well, that's what you're going to do. You're going to hear the parent lie and say, I abused the kid. Now I'm going to tell you the truth.
I'm also going to be questioning probably the students after hearing what you have to say.
The kid is going to say to you, Chris, or officer, or whatever you want me to call you.
Doesn't matter.
This kid dropped 3 balls last week's game. And you're telling me I don't have the right
to
butt a cigarette on his face to sit.
What do you mean on his face?
I've got to motivate this boy to remember.
You know what? As much as you may be able to make yourself believe that you have the right to use these methods to motivate
him, it's against the law.
It's a violation of the California State Penal Code. You're in violation of the law. And nothing you say will justify it. And I'm surprised the DA hasn't filed charges.
Boy, you know, I find it really something. A guy drives around in a Yugo with a yellow flashing light on the top, and you're taking his side?
You bet I am.
The man is
you're taking his side. He walks around with a little vest on that says, "Hi, I'm Chris, mall security."
No, but he knows the penal code.
By the way, it's more than just mall security. We're licensed by the state of California.
Do you drive a Yugo with a yellow light?
We know the laws, but we also know how
to... Do you drive a Yugo with a yellow light on top?
I'll tell you,
that's the last person
I've ever... Then I went to working in the office.
I ran a company,
and as the assistant chief of operations, I also was the dispatcher. I worked my way up from foot all the way into management.
I bet you wear a white helmet and a blue armband, too.
Look, what I'm trying to say here is that this young man knows the penal code, and...
Well, you know something, Mr. Hendry, I bet it's a... Forget it.
All right, look, Chris, thank you for that enlightenment, because that was good to know.
Sure.
1-800...
But you didn't ask them the question of why do they let their kids play in a hurricane down in Florida, and they are not arrested for attempted murder.
Who?
The parents of Florida.
Attempted murder?
They know full well hurricanes come blowing through there once a year, and yet they keep their kids there. That's attempted first-degree murder. Now, you look it up. You want to look stuff up? Look that one up. Let me tell you something.
I got to get to another call. Hold on. Maxine, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. I'm from Ocoee, Tennessee, and I just wanted to say, in the state of Tennessee... had he taken and cut his cigarette butt out on a child, and if that child happened to belong to him, be his own child, they would take it, remove it from his home as abuse. That has happened over and over in Tennessee, and they didn't get their kids back either.
Maxine, could I say something? This is Coach Dozier. You've got a very fine high school football program in Tennessee, very fine people. I know Coach Bill Elliott, who is one of the coaches there in the Nashville area. But do you think it's right that every year we play our all-star game against the kids in Florida, and the coach down there, a guy by the name of Harold, when they win, he always makes like, and I know you're a lady and I don't want to say anything, but he always does a motion like he's giving it to a guy in jail. You know what I'm talking about. And he points at me.
And he points at you.
Yes. As if to say, Maureen, I'm his jail boy.
What he was meant by, except for you telling him.
Well,
right
what do you
now.
Tell? What do you take it to mean, Vernon?
I think he's saying, "Hey, another
I'm
year,
saying,
another jail boy."
I'm saying what you did, putting a cigarette butt, is abusive. In the state of Tennessee, it would be called abuse.
But you don't have hurricanes down there.
We have storms. We have tornadoes.
Yeah, but you don't have no hurricanes.
You stay in your homes.
How do I motivate kids when the kids in Florida are motivated by a piece of flying metal that can sever every member of their family's head, just all 5 of them at a dinner table, suddenly no heads.
That can happen in a split second driving down the highway.
Oh, everybody says that, but you know it's coming every summer.
When you put that cigarette out, you made a choice to do that.
I don't believe this.
Well, you do make a choice.
To harm to him.
Look, Mr. I don't believe the fact that I'm on your show tonight. I just told this lady that Coach Harold down there in Kissimmee makes a motion like, "Hey, jail boy, why don't you come on into the cell, huh, and give me a back rub," like I'm his jail boy, and she's giving me a hard time?
Nobody knew what he meant but you, so it must have been a private message just for you.
Now, what's that supposed to mean? What is that?
Well, I think what the lady means is very clear. You know what it means.
Nobody else knew what it meant.
Are you trying to tell me that I might as well be wearing a mop wig and lipstick? Because if that's what you're saying,
I'm saying if you took it as a message to you, then it must have been a personal private message to you. Nobody else knew what it meant.
Look at this coach is taunting you, and you're taking the bait. And you're saying, I got to beat those guys in Florida. They have hurricanes, and what do I have? I got to butt a cigarette on a kid's forearm. Maybe some of the kids that you coach come from abusive homes.
Are you kidding me? These are the richest kids in the state. Belmar Academy's got an annual tuition of $20,000. You kidding me?
That's a high school?
You better believe it. And I've had to whip some shape into these rich kids, these candy asses, and now all of a sudden Florida gets hurricane. Forget it.
I'm surprised if they let you continue as coach. You wouldn't be allowed in Tennessee as a coach, I'm sure.
Look, these kids here in California, all they want to do is go home to their nana and get some chocolate milk and a cookie. Meanwhile, Florida, those kids are hard. And I will tell you something, Mr. Henry. That guy down in Florida, that Kissimmee coach, that Harold, the next time he makes motion like I'm his jail boy.
What are you going to do, cry?
Baby.
I had to hook you up with Steve Bozell.
I think Maxine's sloppy with her drink.
All right. Coach Vernon Dozier with a, obviously he's angst-ridden. I don't think I want to talk to him anymore. He's butting cigarettes on guys' arms. It's a bad scene. The California high school program's threatened by the emerging excellence of Florida because they've got hurricanes that motivate their kids. 1-800-449-8686. World famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up later on tonight, Earl Pants Car Talk and Training Pets with Darren Flew. Tomorrow night, of course, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. Skippy and Frank come back tomorrow night as well. And don't forget our Best of the Phil Henry Show CD entitled Fahrenheit 7-Eleven. Our Best of for the year 2004 is going to be coming out very soon. And we'll tell you when it's up and running on the website. We'll be back. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coach, I don't have any more time.
I wanted to ask a question, though.
But I don't have any more time for the interview, okay?
But I wanted to ask you a question, if, in all fairness, if you can answer this question. Because...
Well, what is it?
Was I the guest on this show today, or what?
Yeah, you were the guest in this hour.
Okay, and is it customary for you to go against me? Like the way you've done, you know, taking sides with the callers?
No, I don't go against you. I am...
Well, you agreed with every caller against me. And you didn't even see the point that I was making about the parents in Florida being abusive.
Look, I happen to agree with the people who are calling. What you're doing is abusive. I don't think that living in Florida is necessarily abusive, although it may be dangerous.
So that's it?
Is what it?
Is it that all the time that I get, or...
Yeah, that's it.
Man, I'll tell you. You know what? I got to get the cigarettes for less. They're closing the half hour. Screw you. You can all go to hell.
Well, fine. Go to Cigarettes for Less if they're closing in a half hour. He's got to get to Cigarettes for Less. They're closing in a half hour. All right, here is from our show on Friday, Clara Bingham. Guess what? Clara and her church group from Joyful Union Congregation, they went down to Florida for their hurricanes. Not to see the hurricane, but they wanted to go vacation and they wanted to take a tour of all the devastation. Kind of a bad time to do it, but here's Clara.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
First of all, you say that you chose to go there. It was a vacation. You didn't go, your congregation or whoever this is, you didn't go to help these people. You went for a vacation.
Well,
the second question I have, two questions.
Reverend,
the
yes.
second question is,
Reverend,
you said yes. it was educational.
Yes, sir.
Well,
much.
It didn't seem to me that you learned much at all, to be honest with you, except that you
Is that a
were
question?
Anxious to pay these few people,
yes.
these people, to yes. come and take a picture. How many pictures did you take?
Is that
and
your
did
second
you
question?
Ever try to help any of these people?
Is that your second question or your first
yeah,
question?
Yeah, it is my second
you
question.
You had two questions, and they're both the same question.
No, they aren't.
Well, yes.
What kind of a vacation... Could it possibly be
right.
for you to go through this through a state
that
that's been devastated?
No, that's what you asked me the second time.
Okay,
which is
you know what? I don't care.
All right, well, why don't we move past that? Yeah, let's move past that.
One or two questions.
Right.
Just answer any one of those.
Well, first of all, I'm not really sure what it is you want me to tell you, but I will say this. Reverend Rennie, who is our ecclesiastical leader and our pastor, has often said that consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor do they sweat, but the Lord provideth for them.
Well, you know
and
what? When I went to Florida, I saw the... Let's see if the lilies of the field,
Are you Christian?
You know what?
Are you a Christian
woman? I'm not going to answer that. You know why? Because it doesn't matter what I answer.
Well, it sounds like you're hostile. It sounds like you're bigoted against Christians.
I am 71 years old and have been a Christian from the day I was baptized.
Well, then you are Christian.
But I can tell you that I wouldn't consider going to Florida to take a vacation and pay people whose homes have been devastated, looking for food, for water, for days, and consider that a vacation.
All right, let me jump in here.
And say that they're going to be taken care of like lilies of the field.
Let me jump in,
Marge. Do you know what you sound like?
I want to say, are you Lutheran? Because
you know
that,
what?
That
I'm not
really,
going to even discuss what I am with you.
But your bigotry, I think, needs
my
to be addressed.
Bigotry? Do you understand what you sound like, whatever your name is, Clara?
My name is Clara, Marge.
Do you know what I want you to do?
I'm going to pray for you.
I'm going to want you to, the way you took those pictures, you know what? You don't have to
pray
for me. You better get your whole congregation together and make a trip to Florida to help these people. To help these people.
I'm going
to
jump in. Hold on, ladies. Marge is making a very good point. We often hear of church groups going and helping, and I haven't heard you say that.
Well, Reverend Rennick tells us that every time a church group tries to relax, everybody hoping they're going to come and bail us out. You know, why can't we go somewhere for a change and just, you know, like the kids say, chill and take some pictures and have some shrimp?
And you decided to do that in a place that you didn't go to a lovely resort. You went to a place where people were wanting and needing, and it was devastating.
It was very where are you going to look? I did not go there to look at people suffer. I went there to look at what it looks like when a car gets flipped over and everything.
You asked me if I was a Christian.
Well,
I
know you're not a Christian. You're very bigoted. You hate Christians.
I suggest you look into your heart and soul.
I'm going to pray for you tonight, and I'm going to ask God to bring love into your heart.
Don't pray for me. You waste your prayers for me. I don't need them. You pray for all those people, everybody that you paid to take a picture with.
I paid those people. I don't need to pray for them. I paid them. You know,
you don't have to pray for them.
Our religion.
You know what? I have to tell you something. I can't even. This woman is a lunatic.
I want to ask a question. When you say...
What I believe the Bible tells us very clearly, you know, what those that have, them that got shall get, those who do not shall lose. And what that means is this.
I don't need to pray for a man
I just laid a $50 bill on to watch him cut a tree off his car. That's all I'm saying.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold. +1 800 449 8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
It's time for Harvey Wireman's senior chat. Hello, I'm Harvey Wireman. I'm a retired attorney at law. I work pro bono now. And that means per bone. I'm kidding. No, I forget, but... You. Anyway, welcome to Senior Chat, and tonight's question is going to be good for... Am I reading that right, Ethel?
Yes, it's. I believe that's it.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Tonight's prize on Senior Chat is two tickets to the Desert Hot Springs 75th Celebration, Bringing Back the Days of Burlesque. Isn't that sweet? Oh, that's great. And I wanted to say before we start our program this evening that The winner of... I've got a wad of cheese. It's phlegm or something.
You want coffee?
Yeah, give me some coffee, will you? Last week's winner of the cruise to Alaska via Portobello Tours, Fred Duffel, we were informed midweek that he is dead. But he obviously sent his submission before he died. And the question was, where have you found yourself suddenly after thinking you were driving to the store? And Fred's answer was Sarajevo. So we've got that for his family. All right, I'm going to go to our... Tonight's question is, and call us here, 1-800-HARVEY-LOVES-TO-CHAT. That's 1-800-HARVEY-YOUR-CAT. Tonight's question, how long have you complained about a highly personal medical condition to a complete stranger in line at the grocery store before they politely said, well, have a nice day? Again, tonight's question, how long... Have you been in a gross... before you...
No, it's right here.
Oh, I'm sorry. How long have you complained about a highly personal medical condition to a complete stranger in line at a grocery store before they... Let's go to call here. I got... Who is this? Fred?
Anyway, they thought it was fecal matter, but it was blood.
Fred, you're on the senior chat.
So I said, well, what can we do? And I woke up, there was blood everywhere in the mattress.
Fred, this is Harvey. Hello?
So finally, my wife said, well, if you know, I think the blood pressure medicine is what's keeping us from having good, strong sex. And
Fred!
Oh, yes, yeah.
Fred, this is Harvey.
Oh, hi. Hi, Harvey, this is Fred.
Yes, do you want to answer our question?
Yeah, I forgot what it was, but my answer is 6 hours.
But you don't know what the question is.
I haven't a clue, no.
But you just...
Well, what I did is I heard the question. Now I forgot what it is, but I knew and I told my wife, just remember, 6 hours, 6 hours, 6 hours. She finally said, yeah, 6 hours. Do I win?
Well, we have to hear other people, Fred, but...
I want to go back to talking to this lady. So anyway, I said, you see that scar just above my...
All right, anyway. So there's Fred. How long have you complained to a complete stranger at the grocery store before they politely said, well, have a nice day? Talking about a medical condition. And I like to get my voice way down like this because I've smoked camels for years. All right, here is, who is this? Mel, how you doing, Mel?
Oh, hey, how you doing, Harvey?
How you doing? What are you doing tonight?
I'm having a bath. They're soaking me. I complained to a lady. I'll never forget. I was standing at a bulk at Yankee Stadium waiting to get tickets for Yanks in Brooklyn. This is about 55 series.
Oh, yeah, that was the Johnny Padres series.
Yeah. And so,
Are you bathing yourself?
No, a nurse is giving me a little bit of a... She's giving me a sponge bath.
Oh, you're having a wonderful sponge bath.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah.
All right, cut him off. Cut him off, because I don't know what he was doing there. Right, let me go to another caller here. Hi, you're on Harvey Wireman's senior chat, and this is Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Oh, hi, Harvey. How are you?
Good.
Listen, Harvey, I stood in line at...
What is that baby crying?
What baby?
There's a baby crying.
Oh, for gosh sakes, you're right. There is. Let me go look.
Well, don't you know of it?
I haven't a clue. There is. There's a baby in a bassinet here in the next room. I had no idea. Isn't that wonderful? See the things you learn?
What do you mean, the things you learn? Don't you know whose it is?
Well, I don't know what it would be. Wait a minute. I have a daughter. I think she was pregnant once.
Well, is it your grandchild?
Would that be it?
Well, it could be it, yes.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't look like anybody I know. Anyway, so I said to this guy, you know, I've got a condition, and I had to be categorized for it. And I've got a kid. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Cellophane in children, bad move?
Yeah, I'd say that's a bad... You better get it.
Because he's turning blue. Hold on. That did it. Now then, I...
What did you do?
Just close the door. Now, I...
Forget it. Close the door. Why, that... I would have thrown the kid out a window. All right, well, no one wins here on Senior Chat tonight with Harvey Wireman. But remember, next week's question...
Making love to you day and night.
When is the last time you made love to anything? Anything.
Night and day.
hold on for a minute. Is this Murray? Do we have a winner?
I think we have a winner.
All right, we do have a winner. Murray?
Yeah, hi.
Go real quick. I'm going off the air here.
Oh, you got to quit broadcasting, huh?
Got to quit broadcasting.
All right. I'm in line at a store, and the store's closed, so I decided to talk to this cardboard cutout of a Heinz ketchup bottle for the last 2 hours about my insomnia. And that's, I know that's not a disgusting medical condition, but the things I do when I don't sleep are disgusting. So.
All right, you win.
Yeah.
Here's Harvey Wireman Sr. Chat, heard only on The Phil Hendry Show. What did you do? I closed the door. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up tonight, Earl Pant's Car Talk, Training Your Pet with Darren Flew. Tomorrow night, we have Margaret Gray's Campaign Report 2004. And I know that we will most likely be preempted in some markets for the debates on Thursday night, and for the debate, I should say, on Thursday night. Totally welcome that. I think you should be informed. In fact, I don't really much want to do a show Thursday. I want to watch the debate, too. So what are we going to do? Are we just going? We're going to half do our show and half watch. It's kind of like someone talking to you while they're watching TV. You know how unnerving that is? How rude that is? Really? Uh-huh. So anyway, I told the guy that I'll take the $1 million, and so now I have $1 million. Yeah, that's great. Hey, look, here comes the part where the guy, you know, it's kind of what it'll be like. So Thursday night, maybe a little bit of a preemption thing in some markets, but we will have full commentary on the debates, full coverage, as only the Phil Hendry Show can do it, Thursday night, and in subsequent evenings following these subsequent debates, as I believe there are going to be three. The first one is going to be about Homeland Security. The second one is going to be a town hall meeting. I'm not big. Are you big on the town hall meeting debate? They're sitting around checking their watches, sitting on stools. You know what I mean? They pull out those little kitchen stools, and the guys sit there trying to look as if they're David Hartman on the old Good Morning America. Hi, I'm George Bush. Meanwhile, he's checking his watch, and then they walk around looking stiff and idiotic. And this is not what a president is supposed to be. A president's supposed to sit behind a desk, and you only see him from the chest up. Anyway, that, and then the third debate is going to be some other garbage, and I don't know what it is, but I'm sure it'll just be fantastically educational. So that's that, and as I mentioned, tomorrow night, Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 report. Also, Skippy and Frank will be back. And then the night after tomorrow, Wednesday night, we have Jay Santos on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, coming right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, this hour we have a new feature called News Highlights, or actually Election Highlights, from a guy who doesn't know what he is talking about except for what he overhears in a bar. Craig Hardy is the host of our new feature, Election Highlights, from a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about except for what he overhears in a bar. Craig works at International Paper in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And he calls himself an averagely informed human being, meaning what he knows, he basically hears other people talking about in a bar. So we're going to get the news from him. That's coming up this hour. And I'll be fascinated to know exactly what the heck that is. Now, the big news today, as we just kind of go through the headlines a little bit, Mount St. Helens is ready to blow again. How about that? Boy, that blows. You better hope it doesn't blow. Mount St. Helens, how much is there left to blast off with, man? The whole mountain blew up. There's more? I sure hope that people have gotten the very hip message of the hour, which is don't be living anywhere within 5 miles of Mount St. Helens. If they have to evacuate people from there, guys probably thinking, well, it blew once, that's got to be it, right? No, it's getting ready to go again, man. They've had a series of earthquakes around the Portland area, or I guess in Oregon. Series of earthquakes anywhere from 2 to 2.8. Nothing real big, but all of them put together means there's something shaking, if you'll pardon the expression, at Mount St. Helens. So just when you thought that she was all dried up and not worth it, she's ready to blow again. Mount St. Helens. Also, Senator Edward Kennedy said that we are less safe now than we were before 9/11. President Bush has made us less safe. Senator Kennedy is echoing also statements made by Senator Kerry, who said that we are less safe today. And, you know, when they say that we're less safe, it I don't know about you, but it makes me a little scared, doesn't it? It makes me fearful. And then I remember what Senator Kerry said and Senator Kennedy said about President Bush. They said he was a fearmonger. He was getting people all crazy for nothing. President Bush was running around making people just nervous and anxiety-ridden, and he was creating this false atmosphere of fear, right? Then they turn around and they say, but we're less safe. The hell, man? Just when I was starting to feel better, you guys tell me that I can't feel better? I'm voting for, what's his name? John Kerry. He may change his name tomorrow. I don't know. I'm voting for him because, you know what? The way this cat's talking, I may be the only guy that votes for him. Although somehow I doubt it. Somehow I think he's going to get lots and lots and lots of votes. Other news today, former President Carter said something's got to be done about the election, the election recording in Florida. He says it's an utter mess. There's no way it's going to be a fair election. I don't know whether or not he's going to feel that way if Kerry gets elected. Maybe he'll say that he won despite all the irregularities in the Florida voting. But if it's been that way, say, if it's that way now and it was that way in 2000, chances are it was that way in 96, 92, 88, 84, 80. Every freaking president we ever had is an illegitimate president on some level because Florida don't know how to count, according to former President Carter. He says it's completely corrupt down there, the way they're counting votes, and they ought to recall Clinton, Bush, and if Kerry gets elected, they ought to put him in jail. So that means, who do we bring back? Dukakis. We're going to have to get somebody. We haven't had a real president? No, man, they didn't vote. Oh, wow, all right. Who was running the country all those years? Get a load of that. Meanwhile, athletic smugglers running drugs over the U.S.-Mexican border. And there's also a story here about drugs. I keep seeing the stories about, you know, drugs, and there's more drugs in America, and how are we going to stop the drugs from coming over the border? Does anybody ever even remotely consider the fact that the reason why there's drugs is because there's people wanting to take them? Has anybody kind of gotten into that concept? We still got a drug problem in America. Why? Because they're bringing the drugs over the border. Why? Because people freaking want them. Now, the drugs that are coming over the border are heroin and coke and some of the heavier hitting items, some of the more popular party items that are on the, shall we say, Title II in the FDA code, man. They're like controlled substance Title II, baby. Heavy-ass narcotic kind of stuff. Now, that's the stuff that's coming over the border. Marijuana, people are growing in their backyards now. People are blowing weed at a record clip, and they're getting it from either Northern California or their backyard. Northern California, the largest single repository of marijuana in this country, high-grade stuff, and chances are if you're smoking that really sticky rosin stuff, baby, it came from Humboldt freaking County. Now, the drug problem you know that we have in this country ain't marijuana. The drug problem we have are the devastatingly addictive drugs like crack, cocaine, heroin, etc. That's the drug problem we have. And the reason why we got drug problem the drug problem in America is because we have a demand for this stuff. And all the beefing up of the Border Patrol ain't going to do diddly until we start somehow making the people who are aware that they're on these drugs kind of walk up to them and just wave your hand. Hoo-hoo! Anybody home? Hi. What's up? Well, what's up is you got to stop using because it's costing me, a taxpayer, a lot of money so you can have your fun. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're going to stop using that stuff or I'm going to spank you. Something. I don't know what you're going to do. You know what? Bush is the problem in this country, baby. And the whole thing is just like fascist. How do you know? How much money do you put into that stuff every week, man? You're like, you're buying how many rocks a day? And if you're not doing that, you're getting a little cooking something on a spoon? I mean, what is it with you? Oh, why don't you leave me alone, man? I can't leave you alone anymore, man. It's costing me money. I'm Mr. Taxpayer. It's costing me bread. They got to beef up the Border Patrol, more cops. Why? Because you're some loser sitting in a shooting gallery in, the Upper East Side. You know, I'm sorry, buddy. I got to get up in your face. I got into your life now. I mean, we ought to, like, march down the street and call all the junkies out onto the street and say, okay, we're going to, like, lecture to you now. That's what we ought to do. What are you talking about, Bush, the Border Patrol, or anything? There's nothing any president is going to do to keep this problem from happening so long as there's a very high demand. And America is the place. They are doing twists and flips just to get the stuff into this country because there's big money to be made in this country on this stuff. Why? Because we got more junkies per capita, more rockheads per capita than any country in the world. Why is that? Well, I get it. It's the oppressive fascist environment we live in. No, it's the very competitive environment we live in. Some people get left behind. And their answer is to, start smoking or shooting some of this stuff. You see what I'm saying to you, man? No. All right. Well, you just go back to sleep. You just go right ahead and nod off. Talking about Bush, you're going to beef up the... They want to put the American military on the border? Forget it. How many cops do you want to hire? How many cops, how many soldiers do you want to hire to stop a problem that will never be stopped so long as there's a demand? So long as people want it, they're going to find a way to get it here. The question is, why do they want it? I have the answer. I have the answer. People use drugs because they're missing something biochemically in their heads. They are missing something biochemically. They were born with a biochemical deficiency. We got to put more money. If you want to really put bread into something that works, you don't put it into cops. You put it into the pharmacology. You put it into the psychopharmacology science of developing new drugs, new antidepressants, new anti-anxiety medications that are being used widely throughout the country and the world to improve them and to make them accessible to these individuals who are using drugs because they're trying to get their brain chemistry right. That's exactly why people use drugs. And as long as they're using them, you're never going to stop them coming over the border. It's never going to happen. And stop with all of this nonsense about blaming Bush or Clinton or anybody else for the drug problem. And don't blame the Colombians. You want to put the Colombians out of business? Don't use the stuff. Going down there and blowing up their crop, all you're doing now is... You're making America what they figure America is, the big, bad bully on the block that is keeping these poor farmers. Man, all I got to do is flip on Pacifica Radio or NPR and listen to them pining away for the old poor farmers, man, that were just destroying their livelihood. Yeah, their livelihood growing freaking poppies and coca leaves. But so you go down there with soldiers and you help the Colombian army, and I don't know anything about the Colombian army, but frankly, I'm tired of my United States military being used to help out these suspect militaries. I don't want my soldiers having anything to do with Colombian army guys. I don't know anything about these guys. They're on the take, crooked as the freaking day is long. Why do you want to have American soldiers hanging around that? I say bring our guys home and do something about these people that are using this stuff. Hire them as television writers. Yeah! It worked for that one dude, that permanent midnight cat. What's his name? Jerry Stahl? He was shooting smack and writing Laverne and Shirley, wasn't he? Won an Emmy. Won like 6 Emmys while he was a heroin addict. As soon as he cleaned up, he can't get work. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
It's time now for election highlights from a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about except for what he overhears in a bar. Joining me from Green Bay, Wisconsin is Craig Hardy. Craig works at International Paper in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And Craig, thanks for joining us.
For having me on your program.
All right, Craig, tell me what you've heard in bar rooms and what you're learning about this election by just hanging out in bars and talking to friends of yours.
All right, Phil, well, I heard this one guy say, are we on the air right now?
Yeah.
All right. I heard this one guy say that he thinks Kerry's a fag. So I don't know whether that's true or not.
He okay. Anything else?
Right. I heard that over at Chance's Roadhouse. I heard another guy, a friend of mine, said, here's one it's kind of interesting. I heard a friend of mine say that Bush is planning to pull Osama bin Laden out of a closet or something just in time for the election.
Right. Okay. So he's going to... What's that going to do?
I guess people are going to think he's got Osama bin Laden, so they think he's some kind of genius that'll reelect him. So I heard a friend of mine say that.
What else you hear?
I heard Bush got a deal with a Saudi. He's going to get free gasoline or something. That's a friend of mine. Another guy works over here at Westminster Fuel. He says that Bush is going to get free gas or some baloney like that, I guess.
So Bush cut a deal with the Saudis to get free gas.
That's a friend of mine said, right. This guy was talking, this guy's talking over at Farms. Actually, not a friend of mine. He's a bartender I just met, but...
Okay, so Bush cut a deal with the Saudis, and he may have Osama bin Laden in his closet. Kerry is a, quote, fag, end quote. What else?
I heard a guy say here, it was actually right over there at the star, at the stair step saloons right across from Lambeau Field. This guy said, and I know this guy pretty good, so he says that Kerry's so sick of Edwards he might switch over to Hillary Clinton.
Really?
Yeah, that's what the guy said anyway. Then I heard another guy say Kerry shot some old lady in the back in Vietnam. He's got her skull on his shelf. Some guy told me that. What do you think of that?
What did he say? He said...
Yeah, it's this guy over here. Just a friend of mine who works over here right at the golf course across on Lambeau Boulevard, or Lombardi Boulevard.
What did he say?
He said when Kerry was in Vietnam, he shot some old lady in the back. She's doing her laundry or something. He just walked up, he blew her head off. So he got the skull and he's got it on his mantle. Then I also heard Bush... Some guy says Bush never did nothing in the National Guard. His old man made it all easy for him.
Yeah.
Then another guy I was talking to, said he was drunk every day in the National Guard. This guy's telling me that over at Farb's the other day. Said I had lunch over there, and that guy said that.
That Bush was drunk every day?
Bush was drunk every day in the National Guard.
What else?
I heard about, you know, that bitch that Kerry's married to? That.
Well, let's watch the language.
What's her name? Teresa Heinz?
Teresa Heinz Kerry.
Yeah. Some guy says to me, I don't believe it, but some guy says to me she's got male genitalia. That's what this guy said. I didn't say the guy said that over at the country club.
Where is this?
It's at the country club over. It's like, it's about a quarter mile from Lambeau, okay? Nitschke, all these guys golf there.
Teresa Heinz has male genitalia.
That's what this guy says. I don't buy it. I'm not buying that, but that's... Another guy thinks that the donkey and the elephant should be replaced with a penguin and a three-toed sloth. But that's just his opinion. That's not really news, is it?
No, that isn't news. That's it. What do you mean, a three-toed sloth?
That's just this guy said, yeah? I was doing shots. I was doing shots with a guy. Probably what was influencing his thinking. Another thing I heard. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, keep going.
Another thing I heard, Bush don't really have Saddam Hussein. And that the guy he's got is like a Mexican film actor they paid. So he ain't got him at all.
Well, why wouldn't they do that with Osama, then? Just have Osama, you know, like an actor?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just what I heard, you know.
Okay, so we don't have Saddam. We have a Mexican actor we're paying.
That's what I'm hearing about, yeah. Then another guy said, I heard this waitress that I know, actually. She says that Kerry, okay, as soon as he gets elected, he's pulling the troops out, and a UN's going to move in and everything's set. He's got a deal. He's got a backstairs deal with the UN. And they're going to come in and the whole thing will get cleaned up. That's what I heard, anyway.
Well, that would probably make you want to vote for Kerry, huh?
I don't know. I may not. I don't know. Then another thing I heard, Bush is gay. And I heard Cheney died like 3 years ago. And a guy that Cheney, you know, that's Cheney now.
Wait a minute, Cheney's dead?
Yeah, the real Cheney's dead. That's what I heard.
Right.
And the guy that's Cheney now is really it's like a Hollywood guy or some deal.
Like a Hollywood actor?
Yeah. Then I heard, you know, these forged documents they got them on the Bush National Guard thing?
Yeah.
I heard that the Bush administration made them themselves, then they gave them to Dan Rather because he's so freaking stupid, you know, knowing that they were forged, and Rather's so dumb, he put it on and make them look bad, so that's what I heard.
Okay, anything else?
Nah, that's it.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. This guy sitting next to me says, what? Oh. This guy sitting next to me now says, what's your name? I don't need to tell you his name, do I?
No, it's okay. What did he say?
The guy sitting next to me. Are you sure? This guy sitting next to me says that they're going to hire Jeff Goldblum to grow a beard and be Osama bin Laden. So there you go. You were like psychic on that one, see?
The guy next to you says?
Yeah.
That they're going to hire Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, the deal's done, in fact. The agent already talked to everybody. And so Goldblum's going to be Osama. He's going to sit in jail. I don't think... They execute. I'm not going to execute like Jeff Goldblum. I hope they don't, because I liked him in that Silverado. Then I heard Bush likes Cheney ice pops, and Kerry likes, Bush likes cherry ice pops.
Bush likes cherry ice pops.
Yeah, and Cheney Kerry likes the grape ones. That's what I heard.
Anyway.
No, this is Greg Hardy. You want me to... You want to do like a lockout or what do you guys call it?
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Greg Hardy in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And anyway, that's what I heard.
There's Craig Hardy with election news. A guy who doesn't know what he's talking about overhears in a bar. By the way, that bit's so good, I guarantee somebody's going to steal it within the next 2 weeks. You're going to see it on TV. I swear to God.
Well, if that's true, do I get...
Shut up. What's he going to negotiate bread with me now, man? The guy's doing it for free. He wants to get a stipend now? I heard Kerry's a fag. 1-800-449-8686. I like that. What was that piece of news that I did like? He said that there was one in there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Jeff Goldblum is going to be Osama bin Laden. They've already done the deal. It's already done. We don't have Saddam. It was really a Hollywood actor. You know that, don't you? Well, now Bush, because everybody's been predicting Bush is going to whip Osama bin Laden out at the last minute, and he's going to get a lot. Now, what are they going to say if Bush never does that? I'm going to predict two things are going to happen. Bush is not going to produce Osama bin Laden. All right. Let's say he gets elected, because Bush is not going to produce Osama bin Laden because he doesn't have him, unless they catch this guy. If he catches him, he catches him legitimately. If Bush gets elected, people will say that Bush rigged the election and knew that he was going to rig the election so he didn't have to produce Osama bin Laden. But then you'll have to ask the question, if he knew he was going to rig the election and didn't have to produce Osama bin Laden, why would Bush himself forge those National Guard documents? And you'll get kind of a dumb stare, and they'll call you a Nazi, and that's it. 1-800-449-8686, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up still this evening, we have Earl Pants Car Talk and Training Your Pets with Darren Flew. And tomorrow night, we have Campaign 2004 with Margaret Gray and also the return of Skippy and Frank. Plus, on Wednesday night, we have, of course, Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, pick up a Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. Why don't you do that? Because let me tell you what, I think Steve's got the campaign message that really is going to cut through all the other crap that's being thrown around out there, and that is, vote for me or I'll sue you. So Steve cuts right through and just tells you straight, you don't vote for him, he's going to file civil action against you for breaking his heart and making him cry. That's Steve Bozell for President, 2004, the t-shirt available on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. On October the 1st, we'll be broadcasting in the city of Salt Lake City, and that's because for the last 3 years, the folks in Salt Lake City have had us come out to broadcast there, man. We do it for the Boys and Girls Club, and we raise bread, and we do a good enough job, but they keep having us come back. Seems like a good idea. You can have Phil Henry come in, not that I'm paying for any of it. And we can raise bread for your local charity. And, you know, like if you're an affiliate of ours, we have over 100. Why don't you fly us in first class, put us up at a really nice hotel, pay us around, oh, I don't know, 10 grand for the appearance fee, and we'll raise about 6,000 for the charity. I think it's fantastic. Newman's going with me, and Newman's flying first class with me. My wife isn't going to be with us. This could be a party. Woo! Look out. Rosie O'Donnell is going to do a radio show. And apparently she's going to be subbing in. Let me tell you something. Wherever Rosie is, she's going to be on tomorrow night. Rosie O'Donnell's going to try doing a talk show. It doesn't surprise me that people see that radio, according to John Minnelli in the New York Post, radio commands enormous money. The talent really gets paid well. Who these guys are, man, I'd like to meet them. But the bread is so good in this business these days that many people are trying out doing radio shows, including wholly unqualified people like Al Franken, Janine Garofalo, and Forehead Boy. But I digress. So why not throw another one who isn't qualified, not even within a whisker of being qualified, Rosie O'Donnell? Speaking of whiskers, bet you she's got one hanging off of a mole. Oh, God. I didn't want to think about it, man. Anyway, Rosie's going to be on the air tomorrow night. Now, let me tell you, are you a Rosie O'Donnell fan? Do you want her to do well? then you will do her a favor. And I'm telling you, you'll do her a big favor by calling her show and cranking the hell out of it. I mean, crank her. Because she's only going to learn by going through the gauntlet, man, by the you know, going through a just the heavy-ass gauntlet of crank phone calls. Because as a stand-up comic, Rosie will have enough one-liners or rejoinders for about 10 minutes. After that, man, another 3 hours of people calling up, and when she says,
you know, I want you guys to tell me what you think about, like, isn't Bush a real ass? Don't you think he's an ass?
And people will call up and go, Baba Booey, click. And then you wind up not being so funny. You know, it's tough. You know, they'll call up with, hey, Rosie.
Yeah?
You suck, click. Just stuff like that will really help her because she'll gradually begin to know what she's up against, and the chances are very, very good indeed that when she gets off the air, she'll call her agent, fire him. Chris thinks, really? Now, this Mr. Pelton says, and he's got $50 that says, her first week of calls will all be hired people. Yeah, you know what? I didn't think of that. Absolute people calling in who will be really friendly and sweet.
The PD, all
the program director will call. See, they always set those calls up, right? And some friends of hers. And, like, I saw a guy last night on Channel 11 on Fox News, and he's doing the two-minute drill, or it's called, I forget what it's called. It's like the final 2 minutes of the half-hour sportscast is devoted to phone calls. And the guy's standing there, he's a good-looking guy, and he says, all right, let's go to our two-minute drill now. Okay, Al in Tarzana, go ahead. What's your trip? You know, what's up?
Yeah, hi, Bob. Listen, do you really believe the Packers can stay with a defense that decimated? That's my question. I'll call and hang up.
And I'm thinking, oh, baloney. That's not a real guy, man. That's some cat sitting over in a production studio B calling in and going, okay, just make it sound like you're... Yeah, I know. Because, you know what I'm saying? No guy calls something like that. If I was going to call, I'd go, hey, what's up? Look, I already know all I need to know about sports. Why do I need to learn from you? You turd you.
Ba-ba-boo-bee.
And then I'd hang up. Another $50, Pelton. Okay, that's up to $100 now. Pelton says $50, the calls are all hired. And another $50 that Penny Marshall calls in at least twice a day to chat.
Let's get Penny Marshall on here. Hey, Penny, how you doing?
Like that's like when Terry Bradshaw had that radio show. How many days in a row did he have Howie Long on because he couldn't buy a phone call if they were ready to sever his freaking artery in his wrist? All right, we're going to go to our flashback now because I'm starting to get very vindictive. And seriously, anybody that, you know, all the success in the world to you, Rosie. But you will do her a favor if you crank her, because she needs that. 1-800-449-8686. Time for flashback. Ted Bell is on our show from last night's, last week's show, and Ted was talking about, I wrote it down. Dodgers. Oh, the Dodgers, yeah. He didn't know that Sean Green was Jewish. That changes his mind about what their pennant chances are going to be, since he's not playing on Yom Kippur.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't know why you're belaboring the point about identifying Jewish ball players on the Dodgers team, because it wasn't a problem for you, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
He may not play, and if he doesn't play, then I don't want to buy season tickets if he's not going to play, because the Dodgers,
you should let me finish speaking.
Well, I'd like to let you finish, but the premise that you're presenting here, you're not listening to what I've...
You just let her listen, let her talk.
I did listen to what you said. And I listened to all your other comments.
Look at that. You know, one of these days, Lori, I'd like you to come down.
You're a very rude man.
No, I'd like you to come down to Ted's in Beverly Hills. I'll buy you a Ted, and we can talk about it, you know?
No, thank you.
Come on, go ahead, Lorraine. Go.
Now, what I was saying was that I don't know why he's belaboring the point, because if it wasn't a problem, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And it sounds to me by your comments that you made that you're very bigoted.
No.
With the way you describe people.
I blame Phil Hendry for this, by the way.
With the way you describe people of the Jewish faith by calling them those people, you kids,
look,
and I'm offended.
Oh, are you kidding me or what? You got to be a Giant fan.
Offended.
Are you a Giant fan? Are you a Giant?
Yes, I am.
You Giant fan. You people are the most touchy-feely bunch. Look. All I'm trying to say is if they're not putting a guy on the field who's pivotal to the pennant drive, they should let me know. I may not want to buy tickets for a team that may not be putting the best players on the field.
Ted, so you should have known that because Sean Green has always been Jewish, and we all know when the Dodgers hired
him. Excuse me. If I'm supposed to know it, then why do we have advertising disclaimers that say, by the way, this, by the way, by the way, something else, if I'm supposed to know it? Why don't the Dodgers? Look, I told the Dodgers, and it was a joke, but they got offended. Why don't they cut the bill off of his cap so that he's got just the Hebrew deal, you know? And
that's real
that's
funny.
That's not even funny.
Are you kidding me?
You know what? You're the one who's touchy-feely if you're crying about this, about your
I'm not crying about it. I'm just simply saying they disclaim. In my business, I got to put a disclaimer. And if the Dodgers don't, your last name's, what is your last name, Rothman? Yeah.
What is your problem?
I got no problem. Phil, when you get these callers on that are Giant fans, they come from the Bay Area. They're all up there doing yoga.
I don't come from the Bay Area. I live here. I love Tommy Lasorda, and I have supported the Dodgers team, too.
Well, but you're a Giant fan, and you all come from that touchy-feely Pilates place.
But you know
all
what?
That's
your response.
See, Ted,
and I don't know why you've stayed on the phone so long crying about this.
I happen to be the guest. Okay, you're the caller.
Well,
you know, I'll tell you something.
That's very interesting.
I sponsor an hour of this radio show, and part of the situation...
Let me explain it. Ted's one of our sponsors. He had a problem with the Dodgers not saying that Sean Green was Jewish because he won't play, and therefore, if he doesn't play, they're not putting the best players out there, and why would he want to invest in...
I understand
yeah.
that.
Okay, good.
Well, but see, when you say it, she understands you, but when I say it, she thinks I'm talking Hebrew. Sounds like she's sitting on a feather over there with all that laughing. You know,
you're a very rude man. I would never come to your place of business.
Look,
I would not
you
give
you
any business.
Come over to my place. I'll
no,
get you the prime rib and the pork loin and a free Ted, which is a rum and
no,
coke.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, then you go ahead and be a hard ass about it. But here's the thing.
No.
Every time you look at a movie, it says, this may not reflect actual people and anything is coincidental and all of that stuff. And we say we take that for granted. But the Dodgers don't have at the bottom, we, by the way, have got this Jew kid playing first base and he may not play on Yom Kippur. Why don't they put that?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we have Earl Pants Car Talk, but I do want to bring on now Margaret Gray. She will be on in our second hour tomorrow night for her campaign 2004 report. I apologize, Ms. Gray, for not getting you on the air sooner, but we got kind of up against it last hour, so.
Well, I listened, and you were talking about Rosie O'Donnell. You could have easily cut that off and... You know.
Well, I'm sorry. We got off on a jag about Rosie O'Donnell. I apologize.
Well, I did hear it, and the point I guess that I'm trying to make is it would have been better to put me on because it was, you know, it wasn't all that interesting. And
well, okay, you're going to critique my show now?
No, I'm not critiquing your show, but the agreement that I've got with your company is that I am on in the hour that I will be on the following evening to promote the following evening's show. As it is now, your 9 o'clock listeners think that I'll be on at 9 o'clock, and I won't. I'll be on at 9 o'clock or Eastern Time, midnight, and I won't be. I'll be on in the preceding hour.
Right, I apologize.
Well, I don't know that was...
Well, what do you want me to do? You want me to start bleeding? Do you want me to bleed from the palms?
Oh, my God, you are dramatic, aren't you? I'm simply saying that I wish that you would adhere to the agreement that we have, bring me on your program in the hour that I'm supposed to be on! You show me some respect!
Hello? What was that about? Forget it, man. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Earl Pants Car Talk. I'm Earl Pants. We're going to talk about all the problems you got with those domestic cars. You know, we don't talk about no Jap cars because I don't repair them, and I sure as hell won't let them on my property. If you come in with a Jap car, you can get the hell off my property. That's Earl Pants Car Talk. We'll take some calls from you and find out all about all the things that are bothering you with your car, okay? And don't forget, of course, come on into Earl Pants Automotive. You mention my name, mention the fact you listen to my show religiously every day, and I might take maybe 1% off the price, or maybe I won't. Maybe I'll add money on. depends on how I feel. You tell me you listen to my show, I may actually charge you more.
Used to do.
All right, this is Earl Pan's Car Talk. Why don't we get on the air right now here? And we're talking to Jeffrey. Hello, Jeffrey. How are you?
Oh, hello, Earl. How are you?
Good.
Earl, I have a question, and it has to do with a beautiful late model Chevrolet that I own. I am getting an awful lot of water leaking, and I'm getting a lot of air conditioning fluid leaking, and I'm wondering where that could be cut. Is that the hoses?
Well, I'll tell you, Jeffrey, it could be the hoses. It could, you might have a leak in a pan someplace. The best thing to do is take a look under the hood, see if you've got any kind of a leak. It's a real easy thing to track. All you have to do is take some soap suds, and you can find out where that hose is bubbling and that kind of thing.
Okay, that's great. Now, I also noticed some dripping from my air conditioner. Is that normal?
That's normal, yeah, on a hot day.
And just one more question, Earl.
Sure, go ahead.
I have a car that I own and I really cherish, 1974 Chevrolet Impala. Do you know the resale value on that?
Well, I don't know. I'm very distracted tonight. I'm sorry.
What's wrong?
I don't have any answers for you, sir. I'm sorry. I'm very distracted.
No, go ahead. Tell me what's wrong.
Well, sir, I'm doing a car talk.
No, it's all right.
Well, I'm taking blood pressure medicine, and I'm not being able. I really don't.
No, I'm a clinical psychologist. That's what I do for a living. So maybe I can help you.
Really?
Yeah, and I also have my degree in psychiatry. So I.
Well, this is really. I'm not able to sexually perform with my wife. So I.
Well, that's a common side effect of blood pressure medicine. Have you tried Viagra? You know, a lot of it is the performance anxiety you put on yourself. That sex becomes such a large event that...
Look, I'm...
You don't sound like you're really prepared to do this show. In fact, I've always wanted to do a psychology show, so why don't I do my own show?
Don't you love me like you used to do? Hey.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Einstein, and welcome to Your Mind is a Wonderful Place to Live In. And today we're going to talk about things that I think you and I can all agree on are important. Love, quality of work, our children, school, the things that make life worth living. You can call me and we'll answer your questions about how your mind is working, because remember, your mind is a wonderful place to live in. Let's go now to Earl. Hi, Earl. How are you? Welcome to Jeffrey Einstein.
Hi, Jeffrey. I'm a 45-year-old man. I have a problem sexually performing with my wife. And
all right. Are you on any medication, Earl?
I am. I'm taking blood pressure medicine.
Well,
there's something wrong?
I don't know. I get this question all the time. Kill the music. I get this question all the time. It's just...
I don't mean to bore you. I just...
I'm just distracted. That's all.
What's wrong?
It's nothing. It's my car.
I do automotive repair. Maybe I can help you.
This is a psychology.
Oh, really?
I got a Chevrolet, and it's leaking fluid.
Give you a clue. Why don't you...
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Earl Pants. I got my show back. Now, what's your problem again?
Yeah, anyway, I got this car. It's leaking fluid, and, it's...
Well, I can help you with that, buddy.
We don't get nearer.
Earl Pants Car Talk, Jeffrey Einstein Psychology Talk. Which show will appear next week?
Why don't you say the thank you? What? A piece of my hair still curly.
Yeah, this is Earl Pants. I'm Jeffrey. I'm a pearl. ...1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So we will have Margaret tomorrow night, and we also have coming up on the program, Training Pets with Darren Flew. I have no idea what that is. That was booked by Bud Dickman. Is that right, Bud? Didn't you book him?
Yeah, he's a very interesting man. He trains animals, and you'll be fascinated to see how he does it. I don't want to give away.
Yeah, okay, good. 1-800-449-8686. Bob Dylan, who is working on the second volume of his autobiography, said he went through a personal crisis in the late 1960s when his huge fame made it difficult to escape ravenous fans. In an interview with the Sunday Telegraph of England or Britain or whatever the hell, Dylan recalled moving to rural New York State in search of solitude, only to be followed en masse by his fans. It turned into a nightmare, said Dylan. Dylan said his fear that a crazed fan could attack him or his family led him to keep several guns in his house and stifled his creative process. In the early years, everything had been like a magic carpet ride for me, and then all at once it was over. Here was this thing I'd wanted to do all my life, but suddenly I didn't feel I could do it anymore. Asked whether he came close to a nervous breakdown, Dylan replied, "I guess I did." Dylan spoke to the paper from his home in Minnesota, where he's working on... He moved back to Minnesota, huh? Where he's working on the second volume of his autobiography, Chronicles, Volume 1, Sector 2, Chapter 8, whatever the hell. Bob Dylan comes from Hibbing, Minnesota, and Hibbing, Minnesota is the hockey home of I can't even imagine a cat like Dylan coming from that part of Minnesota. It must have been horrible for a kid like him growing up there. I'm not kidding. It's all guys with, like, they stick gas rags in the gas cap. That's what they use for a gas cap, a rag. A lot of guys with no teeth, a lot of hockey. And there's Bob Dylan doing that whole, you know, I'm on a freight train to freedom. Everybody, you know, that whole thing that he did. Went off to New York. You know, I remember he dropped out of sight for a few years in the late 1960s, and everybody said he'd gone insane or he had a drug problem, had a motorcycle accident, some crap. Now he finds out he just didn't like anybody. So how about that? Gun ownership. You know, it's interesting. I dare say, and I don't know, but I think Mr. Dylan is a supporter of Senator Kerry. Now, look, I'm not saying Kerry's anti-gun, but it seems to be on my side of the, you know, the Democratic Party, the party I belong to, they don't get the gun thing. Like I told you, you know, when I got booed by those people because they said, you know, I think guns are really, you know, actually a constitutional right. People booed you. And here's a guy who had, like, nothing but guns. He had guns all through the house because he was afraid somebody's going to bust in and pull a George Harrison on him. And his old lady, all she had was a freaking lamp. You know, poor George, he might not have had to go through what he went through with that nut that broke in. Remember that guy? Cut his throat. Didn't he drive a knife into George's chest? And the wife, what did she have? A lamp. Now, if she'd had a nice, big, fat gun, George would have, you know, at least maybe saved himself a trip to the hospital. So Dylan was there with all of these guns in the house. See, Bob Dylan, to my generation, was a huge thing. Huge. The cat was like, who's big? You know, he was the Michael Jackson of his day. Whole different thing, obviously. But he was. He was the Michael Jackson of his day. He was a guy where Michael Jackson can sing and dance. Dylan couldn't do any of that. So that's, now you know what my generation valued. Guys that couldn't sing, couldn't dance, couldn't do crap. Kurt Cobain, I guess. Dylan was huge. And then he went through this thing where he became a born-again Christian. That was real weird. I think that was that whole you gotta serve somebody period. Then he forget it. You know, this cat. There's nobody I get anymore, man. I like that whole like a Rolling Stone crap. Beyond that, I don't, you know, when he started getting Jesus into women, and then he, you know, then he did his world tour on a bus. Bob Dylan's like, in other words, a little bit of him goes a long freaking way, folks. And I don't care what anybody says, Ballad of a Thin Man doesn't mean jack squat. Something he thought up when he was sniffing ketamine or something. But the guy was huge, man. And so when he, you know, anytime he went anywhere, people were, and I snuck in to see a movie about him called Don't Look Back. I mean, I snuck in when I was 14 to see the movie that was X-rated because it had a lot of profanity. It was a movie about his tour of England. I snuck in to see this thing. The guy was monstrous. Now he's just some cat that lives in Malibu with a lot of guns. Or where does he live in Minnesota? He used to have a pad right over here in Malibu. Somebody told me Bob Dylan lives up there. I said, are you kidding me? No, why? Well, what's Bob Dylan doing living in Malibu? That's like Bruce Springsteen living in Malibu. What was he doing living out here? He's got nothing to do with Hollywood. Dylan and Springsteen are strictly East Coast. And if Dylan lives anywhere, it ought to be either Minnesota, where he grew up, or New York. He got no business living out here. This place is not for him. And when Springsteen moved out here with that chick he married, what was she, that movie star or something? That's the worst freaking music he ever made. I'll tell you, he's making a huge mistake. A huge mistake getting political, getting involved in this election. He is just, you know, it's showing your hand the way you do with that, Bruce, is so... It's lame. It's super lame. Supporting a guy like Kerry, who doesn't make any sense at all. You're a guy who's always been clear, Bruce, with everything. You know, if I may call you Bruce, because I feel that many of your fans do. And I feel silly calling you Bruce, because it's kind of a stupid name. But if I may call you Bruce, Mr. Springsteen, how about that? I think that you're making a huge mistake with this whole, you know, getting on the Kerry thing, man. Because, look, you know, I'm a liberal, too. Long time, dude. But just because you think Bush is, like, nasty ass. Did you see what happened to Cat Stevens? Is anybody appreciating the irony of what's going on with Cat Stevens? Cat Stevens is sitting on his ass, I guess, in Canada or in London. And he's bummed out. Now, why is he bummed out? Because he can't come to America. You know, the place where they're profiling Muslims. I was literally cut off from my family, from my daughter. I was in the dark, he said. Yeah, he's so much in love with his family and his daughter, he lives in England. Because the guy can live anywhere he wants. So that's, you know, they always bring that in, you know, when they're really tripping and it's a bad scene. Well, why do you want to come to a country where they, you know, where they are profiling and oppressing Muslims? Well, you know, my daughter lives there. Yeah, sure. That's the reason. I got it. Great idea. It may kind of be, you know, goofy, but I figure you are Cat Stevens. I know you changed your name. You might have a couple of bucks. How about flying her to Britain to visit you? That way she sees you. She's with you. What, her mother won't let her out of the country? She won't? No. Why? Because I'm a Muslim. She doesn't want her around me. Oh, well, I can understand that. Islam, who changed his name from Cat Stevens, and by the way, he changed his name from, like, Bernie Schwartz to Cat Stevens, so he's had, like, three names. He was born Bernie Rabinowitz, then he changed that to Cat Stevens, and now he's Yusuf Islam, and the next name, when he reconverts to Judaism, it'll be something like, you know, Dr. Rothman. Not that he's a doctor. He was barred from entering the United States after his name was discovered on a government no-fly list on September the 21st. The former folk singer said United Airlines 1919 from London to Washington, Dulles Airport, seemed routine until he heard an announcement over the loudspeaker stating the plane would be landing in a different location. With 249 passengers on board, it never crossed Islam's mind that he was the problem. The flight had been diverted to Maine's Bangor International Airport, where federal agents were waiting for him. The door opened, and in walked six gigantically tall, you know, uniformed officers, and they kind of came to me directly and said, "Are you Yusuf Islam?" And I thought, what is going on? They took me to the immigration office there. Then I got interviewed by some FBI agents. And that was like the, you know, the horror. I can't find the second page of this thing, but you get it. I mean, on the one hand, a guy is talking about these horrible FBI agents and the horribly oppressive atmosphere that greeted him upon arriving in the United States, a country that he wants to go to. It happens all the time, and how much longer are we going to be dumb and just ignore it? Look, and I know there's a whole lot of other Americans who kind of stand around us, and they sort of drink coffee with their pinky fingers sticking in the air, and they're kind of white wine lovers, and you know who I'm talking about, and they talk in those sort of hushed tones about, we've got to get George Bush out of there. The whole place is turning into a Nazi state, right? And I'm sure Mr. Islam's one of them. You see these people, and they might even talk you into actually believing that there's something really bad happening in America. Well, if there's something really freaking bad happening in America, you know how the man says if it's a duck, if it quacks and it waddles and it's got webbed feet, it's a freaking duck? Dude, look at what's staring you right in the face. I don't care if 85 billion Muslims say it's an oppressive, rotten rat trap to live in America because they're getting profiled. The proof's in the pudding, baby. They freaking live here, man. And cats are coming in here every day. Here's another guy. Islam. You think that's why guys call themselves like Bob Christian? There used to be a guy in the air in L.A. Roger Christian here. Yusuf Islam is like Roger Christian. Cat's coming to the country, and he's bumming because he can't get in. And then I heard a Muslim cat say last week, yeah, you see how oppressive it is? Oh, you mean like somebody like profiled you? You got arrested? No, they won't let a Muslim in. What? Hey, man, I ain't buying it for a second. If you do, good luck. I ain't buying it. I see exactly straight on the situation. There's a lot of people that are pissed off because the United States has taken the unbelievably rude step of attacking a known terror-sponsoring regime and going into a predominantly Muslim part of the world where we're screwing up a whole lot of... You mean there? Oh, his name was Roger Jew. I'm sorry. And we're going into a part of the world where we're screwing up a lot of people's good time who happen to be Muslim, so that means that we're anti-Muslim. Never mind the fact we got millions of cats living here who are Muslim, never been profiled in their freaking lives, and never will be. They've never been stopped by a federal agent, and never will be. Kind of like Youssef Islam, who gives money to a charity that apparently is on some kind of a government list. Maybe what you ought to do, man, is check out the charities you're laying money on. He doesn't get into the country. He talks about the FBI greeting him, and it was all just so terribly frightening. And what's going on? Why can't I come to America? You know what, man? We don't want you here because we don't want to profile another one. You know what? We're like, we're doing you a favor. We don't want to bring you into the country, Youssef, so that we don't have to put you in the gulag with the 85 million other Muslims we got hanging from the wall in chains and shackles, okay? Consider yourself lucky, man. You're back in England, and you're with your peeps, and everything's good, baby. You ain't even American. You talk with one of them light, lilting British accents. For a Muslim cat, that's real weird. Although he did try to change it, I think.
Yes, I'd like to see that... Where are you from, anyway?
Well, originally, I'm from Soho. I mean... What do you want to come to America for, man? Buy your daughter a plane ticket. Fly her there with the millions you have. God. Dummy like me got to think of that? Phil Henry Show. Be right back.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. ...1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And it's time now for Training Pets with Darren Flew. Hi, Darren.
Hello, Phil.
How are you?
Good. Ready to get started.
Okay, and what are we going to do today?
Well, I got over here through a good friend of mine. His name is Sam.
Okay, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Why are you taking your clothes off?
Okay, this is part of the... belief that we have, and I think your producer told me.
Hold on. My producer's not Bud Dickman. My producer's Chris Pelton.
Well, I told him that. Ray got embarrassed me.
I thought he was your producer. No, he's not my producer.
All right. I train animals by taking my clothes off. I believe that you have to get right on their level.
All right.
So I'm going to strip here.
Jesus, Bud.
I told you it's going to be interesting.
This ain't interesting, watching a guy strip.
Doesn't mean you're gay if you like it or something.
I don't like it.
Well, this has nothing to do with sex, Mr. Henry.
I didn't think it did, but I just... Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Now, I'm going to get down on all fours, okay? This is how you talk to an animal. On his level, eye to eye. Isn't that right, Sam? Okay, all right? Now, I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to give him a...
What's he doing?
Get him off me?
Well, look at, sir...
Get it off me!
Get him off him, Bud.
Get him off me! Oh, get him off me! Oh, that's grotesque! Get the...
No, I can't go near him, man.
Hey, we don't want to go near Mr. Flew.
Well, get him off me! You want me to call rape crisis? Is it? Get him!
All right, we got him out of the studio.
You bastards.
What? What did we do?
What did we do, Mr. Flew?
You know very well what you did. You stood there while that animal did that to me.
Sir,
I will contact an attorney while that animal did that to me. You did nothing.
Wait a minute, man. I didn't know what he was doing.
I thought you're the pet trainer. That animal was allowed to do that to me?
This has been Training Pets with Darren Flew. What did you do, Bud?
What I did.
What are you booking a guy on like a nut like that? I didn't know the dog was going to mount him.
Neither did I.
Well, now I got a lawsuit. Get that thing out of here, will you?
You'll hear from my attorney.
Steve Ozell t-shirt is available. Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. Yeah, David.
Thanks a lot.
Wait. Hold on for...
No, no. You wait for a minute. I just got a call from a lawyer. A guy by the name of Grandy or Gandy.
I don't know who he is.
Okay. This guy's an attorney representing a Darren Flew.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Holland.
Both of you guys shut up. What did you do? Did you sexually assault him?
Are you crazy, man? Are you out of your...
Well, what happened? He says you guys are responsible.
The dog. He had a dog here.
Mr. Hall, I can tell you had a dog, and I sent a dog just...
I don't want to know the details. All I know is this guy is claiming that he was the subject of a brutal and vicious assault on your show. Are you out of your mind?
Maybe we can keep the dog as a mascot. We can call him Stud.
What? You guys think you're funny, huh, Dickman? You think this is funny?
Look, David, the guy came in. He was doing a pet training segment.
Yeah?
And so he said he needed to take his clothes off.
What do you mean he needed to take his clothes off?
He says he's got to get down on the level of the dog. I mean,
what is that supposed to mean?
Dogs don't wear clothes.
Dogs don't wear clothes. So this guy, he's got to nude up?
He nudes up, yeah. And then he says he's got to get down on all fours to talk to the dog.
What do you mean, talk to the dog?
He said he got to get eye to eye with him.
Yeah, okay, so then what?
Then the dog all of a sudden took him getting down on all fours to mean something, I think.
And the dog mounted him.
Yeah.
From behind?
I don't even want to... You don't want to talk...
Well, I gotta know. They got this lawyer on me.
I guess. And...
What's that music playing for?
Sorry.
So that's all I know. And Bud's the guy that booked it.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
Well, hey, didn't you?
No, that's okay. Let me take the fall.
You book it, Bud?
Yeah.
All right, I want to see you in my office tomorrow morning.
Thanks a lot, Phil.
What do you want me to say? I did it?
Could have said Chris did it.
All right, that's all I got.
Thanks a lot.
Oh, get a load of him now. He's like Bub the... You know what, man? I don't want any more guests on this show ever again as long as I live. I don't care what it is they're selling, what it is they're doing. I don't want anyone on my show ever again as a guest. A dog training segment, and now I'm going to get sued. Alf, go ahead. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil, this is Alf. I'm calling from Santa Barbara, California, and I own a sandwich shop called Rubella's, and I wanted you to know that I've honored you with naming a sandwich after you.
I thank you very much, sir. The way things are going tonight.
Yeah, I heard you got a very difficult time going there. I thought I'd call you up and cheer you up.
You've named a sandwich after me.
We have. We got the Phil Henry's on our menu, and wanted you to know about that.
What kind of sandwich is it?
It's delicious. It's got two pieces of wheat bread and a slice of bologna. Excuse me, I sneezed. A slice of bologna and a smear of mayonnaise.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Two pieces of wheat bread, a piece of bologna, and a smear of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's...
What?
Is that called the Phil Henry?
Yeah, it's because it's got the bologna, because you're full of bologna. You're always doing those bologna voices on your show and stuff like that.
Well, how about throwing a piece of cheese on it or something?
No, no, I can't do that. That's another sandwich. We got a bologna and cheese with a smear of mayonnaise and two pieces of wheat bread.
What's that called?
It's called a Bud Dickman.
Where I was in last week.
Yeah, is that right? So how does he rate and I don't?
Well, he performed oral sex on me and...
Get out of here, all of you cats. Everything has turned sick.
Where are you?
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Tomorrow night it's going to be Margaret Gray's Campaign 2004 Report and Skippy and Frank. Available on our website right now for the election season is the Steve Bozell for President t-shirt. Show your colors. Show your true political leanings. Show everybody you're not going to take their crap anymore. It says Steve Bozell for President. And if people don't vote for him, he sues. That's right. Steve Bozell, 2004 for President t-shirt, available on our website at www.philhenryshow.com. There's also the Teds of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, the Western Estates Homeowners Association tote bags and spa robes, and the beautiful Western Estates golf shirt. We have so many different things. I can't even begin to tell you about them. So head on over there. We've got the shot glasses and the coasters and you name it, baby. So that's at our website, www.philhenryshow.com, in the souvenir shop.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, if you go to our website, every day we post clips from the previous day's show. In fact, we have the previous day's show available in our 30-day archive. You can hear all 3 hours. But we highlight certain clips, and if you have a backstage pass for $6.95 a month, every single day there's new material on our website. And it's material we're really proud of. We're not just throwing stuff up there because it's a radio station website and you got to put stuff up there. So if you go to our website tomorrow, sometime tomorrow when Doug gets in, sometime in the afternoon, he will throw up on the website. He'll throw up on the website. No, he'll put up on our website the Vernon Dozier Hurricanes Toughen Up Florida Kids bit. There'll be a little section from that that you heard earlier this evening. Also on our website tomorrow will be election night coverage or election campaign coverage from a guy who doesn't know very much but sits around bars and listens to other people. That was Craig Hardy, if you remember hearing that. Also on our website tomorrow will be the entire Earl Pants, Mark? The entire Earl Pants car talk bit. And then training pets with Darren Flew. I've just been informed by my producer and my engineer that will be on our website tomorrow as well. So that's from today's show, which actually had a whole lot of crap in it. And when I say crap, well, oh, here it is. I found the rest of the Cat Stevens story. I mean, it's just fascinating to me. I just wanted to finish up what he said. Cat Stevens said they took him into an immigration office. Then I got interviewed by FBI agents. And that was like the beginning of what I began to realize was a terrible ordeal, which I was about to go through. What was the ordeal, man? The fact that they stopped you and talked to you, or the fact you couldn't get into the United States? It must be the fact you couldn't get into the United States, because here it is day 4 or 5 and you're still bitching about it. Turns out, I got the daughter thing wrong. She was traveling with him from England when they took him, those terrible, mean, nasty FBI guys, and asked him questions about, you know, certain contributions that he's made to charities that provide money to terrorist organizations. He was doing the whole Babe in the Woods thing. Oh, I've never... He even said something that I think is... I think this is code for cats that want to... in other words, take the focus off of themselves and turn it entirely into a profiling, religion, ethnic bashing thing. He said, I never thought that I would be stopped just because my last name is Islam. So in other words, the dude is, he's jacking up the hype on this thing. Hey, you know what, man? I didn't think you were guilty until now, Youssef. Now I think they ought to look into everything you do. I think they ought to inspect every bowel movement. Because I bet you're as dirty as they get. What do you think about that one, cat? Everybody jump on the peace train, baby. Anyway, he was on his way to Nashville with his 21-year-old daughter, who some real brain surgeon bimbo called about 10 minutes ago and said, doesn't Phil know that Cat Stevens' daughter is Nora Jones? To which Chris correctly replied, no, Nora Jones' father was Ravi Shankar, another turd. Nora Jones, who's brilliant... Her father's Ravi Shankar. To all you old hippies out there, you remember him playing the sitar at the Monterey Pop Festival? Yeah, that clown. Anyway, he never had a thing to do with raising his daughter. He basically just, you know, like every rock star of the era, he just had a kid and just ran off and did his thing. And the mother that raised that young lady obviously did a stupendous job, because Nora Jones is genius personified. She is something else, man. But it isn't Nora Jones, it's some other girl. She's the daughter of, maybe she wants to be Nora Jones. I bet you Cat Stevens' daughter keeps saying, I want to be Nora Jones too. Why can't I be? You don't have any talent.
What?
Look, and I got enough problems, okay? My name's Islam. They're dusting off the hot seat for me, baby.
But, Daddy, you said I didn't say anything. What about Nora Jones? She got,
okay, Nora Jones. Everything with Nora Jones. Her old man's Ravi Shankar, okay? That guy's a Hindu, man. They got inns around here, okay? Muslims, they're dusting off the hot seat. Her old man's some Hindu cat. He's a dothead over there, man. He ain't even had nothing to do with her. Why don't you just leave me alone? Maybe you'll become successful. Okay, sugar. Daddy didn't mean to yell. I want to go to Nashville. I want to record. All right, fine. We'll go to Nashville. Next thing you know, the guy's sitting there with FBI agents breathing on him. What if I ever get the hands on my daughter again?
Hey, Daddy, what's going on?
I'm in here. What does it look like? Okay, I'm being questioned.
Okay, well, I'll see you in Nashville. I'm going on ahead. There's a party that Capitol Records is giving.
Ooh, toodaloo. Look, the guy's on a watch list, according to the FBI. That's good enough for me, man. He's been given bread over to some charities that stink to high heaven. My advice to you, Youssef, keep your ass in England, man. Don't come here. Just don't come to this big, bad, horrible place that is oppressing Muslims worldwide. Yeah, I mean, you heard the man say it, you know, they're profiling them all over the place, baby. This is a bad place to be if you're a Muslim. You better stay out of here, Youssef, baby, if you know what's good for you, okay? We'll take care of your daughter. I hear she's lounging in a pool right now. Then she'll be recording later this week, and then I think she's got a book tour. But you know how they treat Muslims. It's probably going to end pretty soon. Oh, man. Is this guy serious? I'm loving it, dude. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here at the Phil Henry Show. We have Margaret Gray coming up tomorrow night with her campaign 2004 report. We got the debates coming up on Thursday night, a debate on Thursday night. Here's why I think Kerry will lose. Not because I am not going to vote for the senator, even though I am a Democrat and that I should. I realize that I'm making a big mistake. But here's why I think he'll lose. The campaign thus far, up to this point, has focused primarily on what Bush is doing wrong. That's all that Kerry can talk about. Kerry has only been able to say what Bush has done wrong. He hasn't presented a coherent plan as to what he would do right. It has not been coherent, and believe me, folks, when I tell you, I read it. I read it on his website. I read it twice. He hasn't said one thing original. Everything he said, basically, Bush has said. The debate on Thursday night is going to be about Homeland Security, something that President Bush has been knee-deep in since 2001, at least. So he's very, very up on it. He's going to get briefed big time. National security, as well as foreign policy. All that Kerry's going to be able to do is ask Bush questions. It's going to be like an interview. Kerry is going to make comments on this is wrong, and this is wrong. And Bush, who's been pretty well focused, is going to be able to retort, well, it's right, and here's why. He's got information with regard to Iraq, with regard to Homeland Security, with regard to foreign policy. And that Kerry, who has basically been conducting a campaign, I'm not really sure what he's been trying to say, but he's saying we're failing in Iraq because there's more terrorism there now than ever before. It's a real high school argument that can be tacked really well. And Bush and Kerry are both pretty good debaters. They both trained under the same man at Yale. So it's not like Kerry is going to be talking to some guy who is not a practiced and proficient debater, nor will President Bush be talking to Senator Kerry who's not proficient. Both of them are good at what they do at debating. And Bush has a little bit more of a grasp on what's actually happening as opposed to what Senator Kerry thinks is happening. That's why I think Bush is going to win that debate. The problem is, like the same thing with that Gore debate. You remember how big Al Gore was when he walked out on the stage? He was like 85 feet tall. I think Kerry's a good deal taller than Bush. People, that means something to people for some reason. Guy being short. Where Gore had brains and Gore had a grasp of information and Gore had actual ideas, which is one of the reasons why I voted for him, Kerry doesn't have any of those. All he has is this really harsh and really negative rhetoric. Really seriously anti-Bush rhetoric. But there's nothing the guy's got going on for himself. That's scary, man. I mean, that's real scary because if the focus ever leaves George Bush on Thursday night and goes over to John Kerry as to what exactly he is going to do for this country, he ain't going to have anything to say. So if I'm Kerry, man, I'm going to keep the whole thing on Bush and hope I can make the guy stutter step a little bit. Hope I can make him sweat under just an onslaught of criticism. Because I bet you that's they're going to be their plan. And I don't think it's going to work, personally. I don't think it's going to work. I think, if anything, the public is going to get a little sympathetic toward the president and all the crap he's going to be taking from Kerry. And he's going to take a ton of it on Thursday night. The one thing that Kerry's got going for him, and I think it's going to help him, is that he looks a little bit like Herman Munster, and people, you know, the nostalgia thing is going to kick in for a lot of people. Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686, world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.